This is Matthew James speaking. I'm a space writer, education and marketing consultant who is involved with international satellite communications policy studies. And I work as a consultant, Astrotech Communications. Today I'm going to talk about Australia's space history. Australia's space history. Visitors to today's Australia may not see any apparent public interest in space and its technologies. But this casual observation belies the fact that the nation has had significant involvements in satellite launch and construction, and also uses communications, remote sensing, geodetic, scientific, and military space system applications. Certainly, though, little evidence is left of Australia's early space programs. It was military programs, not civilian applications, that led to Australia's first space development efforts. The need to develop ballistic missiles created plans to make Australia's vastness an asset by using it as a testing ground. The Anglo-Australian Joint Defence Program at Woomera, South Australia, began in 1946 when the United Kingdom approached Australia with proposals to set up an experimental guided weapons testing range across the centre of the country. An empty munitions factory at Salisbury near Adelaide became one of the principal centres of rocket weapons research and development as the Weapons Research Establishment, or WRE. A number of ranges were used at Woomera for different purposes. Among the rockets launched at Woomera were Black Knight, Black Arrow, Redstone, Skylark, and many others, but apparently no complete record exists. Australia became a member of the European Launcher Development Organisation, ELDO, which was established in 1961 with the objective of developing a satellite launching vehicle for peaceful purposes. 10 launches of the ELDO Europa 1, based on the Blue Streak rocket, were made from 1964 to 1970, with 5 regarded as successful. However, no satellite was ever launched into orbit by the Europa vehicle. Nonetheless, on November 29, 1967, Australia's first satellite, RESAT, was launched on a US Redstone rocket from Woomera, and later, on October 28, 1971, the United Kingdom's Prospero satellite was launched on a Black Arrow rocket, which concluded the United Kingdom tests at Woomera. After Woomera, Australia failed to initiate other forms of international cooperation or to support an active national space effort until recently. As a result, the nation's early space effort did not survive the transfer of European rocket launching activities away from Australia in the early 1970s. Many experienced technologists left the country, while others remained at WRE or transferred to varied government agencies. Efforts have been made to propose a new launching capability, firstly from Darwin, and more recently from Cape York in far north Queensland, and also at a revitalised Woomera facility. Various studies and consortia have suggested the commercial feasibility of a private space base at Cape York, but a firm, funded project is yet to emerge some 5 years on. It seems, however, that new activity at Woomera is more likely in the short term. When the space age began, Woomera's success was also coveted by the United States, which established a number of tracking facilities at the range. As the US space program became defined, in 1960, the governments of Australia and the USA formally agreed to cooperate in space vehicle tracking and communications. Australia undertook to establish and operate a number of tracking stations, which form part of a worldwide network under the control of the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, NASA. The initial temporary stations were established at a range of locations across the country, but now few monuments remain to mark the location of tracking facilities at sites such as Mucheo, Western Australia, Island Lagoon, South Australia, Honeysuckle Creek in the ACT, Auroral Valley in the ACT, Coobie Creek in Queensland, and Carnarvon, Western Australia. As the only remaining large operational facility, the Canberra Deep Space Communications Complex at Tidbinbilla Space Tracking Station in the ACT is used for the tracking of planetary probes and piloted spacecraft. In the tracking and use of communication satellites, Australia's Overseas Telecommunications Commission, OTC, has been quite active. OTC was a founder member of both the International Telecommunications Satellite Organization, Intelsat, and the International Maritime Satellite Organization, Inmarsat. OTC has operated ground stations accessing Intelsat or Inmarsat, located at Ceduna, South Australia, Oxford Falls, New South Wales, Moree, New South Wales, Nangara, Western Australia, Carnarvon, Western Australia, and Healesville, Victoria. More recently, OTC has provided tracking, telemetry and control support for both the Intelsat and Inmarsat systems, as well as for the European Space Agency missions. Tracking activity has also extended from Australia's significant radio astronomy interests. Following experimental radar work at Dover Heights in Sydney, the Commonwealth Scientific and Industrial Research Organisation, CSIRO, and its Division of Radio Physics constructed a large steerable 64-metre paraboloid antenna near Parkes, New South Wales in 1961. This radio astronomy facility has discovered the first known quasar by 1963 and has since been involved in many observing and space communication programs. Unlike the CSIRO and NASA facilities, other US space installations in Australia were built for less than peaceful purposes. The three main bases are at Northwest Cape at Exmouth, Western Australia, for Defence Force Communications, now transferred to Australia, Pine Gap near Alice Springs, Northern Territory, for signals intelligence, and Narunga near Woomera for monitoring early warning satellites. Australia's largest single space activity is said to involve the Defence Signals Directorate interception of satellite signals through facilities such as these and at a site under construction at Codgerina near Geraldton, Western Australia. The Department of Defence also maintains an interest in other space technologies and has utilised communications, navigation, position fixing, environmental monitoring, search and rescue, and surveillance systems. In many tertiary institutions, scientists and engineers have worked on a large variety of space science experiments. The USA has provided Australians opportunities for our investigators to participate in NASA projects. From 1965 to 1968, the University of Adelaide flew a series of cosmic ray experiments on NASA Pioneer satellite flights from American sites and also on RESAT, Australia's first satellite. In 1978-79, the university provided sensors for NASA's Ozone Sonde sounding rocket campaign. The university also provided packages in two Helios flights in 1974 and 76. Australian scientists and engineers have been selected under various NASA schemes to participate in a large variety of other projects. Harking back to RESAT, our first scientific satellite, it was conceived and completed in 1967, all within a very tight schedule and budget, as a notable achievement for Australian scientists and engineers. Australia's second satellite, the amateur-built Australis Oscar 5, was launched on January 23, 1970, from Vandenberg, California, by a NASA Thor Delta rocket carrying a US weather satellite. The Australis satellite, built by Melbourne University, was very successful during the three-month lifetime of its batteries. Australians have also been active in environmental and medical space sciences. In the environmental sciences, Australian scientists in CSIRO, universities and institutes of technology have continued to use satellites for research purposes in physics, meteorology, oceanography and earth resources. The CSIRO established its Office of Space Science and Applications in 1984 to coordinate the organisation's space research and development, especially in space applications. While many Australians have sought to fly in space, few have actually achieved that goal. Australia's first NASA astronaut trainee was Philip K. Chapman, while the first Australian-born person in space was oceanographer Paul Scully Power, who flew in 1984. After Woomera and associated efforts, subsequent space industry activity centred around the OSSAT domestic communications satellite system. Companies such as Aerospace Technologies of Australia, previously the Government Aircraft Factories, and Hawker de Havilland became the biggest names in Australian aerospace industry, although still small by world standards. Between 1980 and 1984, staff at the Australian National University were involved with the Starlab program to build an orbiting wide-field ultraviolet space telescope with the USA and Canada. This program attracted government funding for conceptual studies and led to the first National Space Symposium in 1984 and the establishment in 1983 of the nation's first dedicated space company, AusSpace Limited. The Commonwealth Government established in 1986 the non-statutory and advisory Australian Space Board to oversee a national space program. Located within the Department of Industry, Technology and Commerce, the board was serviced by the Australian Space Office, which was established in 1987 with aims to develop commercially viable industries based on space technologies which are export-orientated and internationally competitive. Now, in 1993, the Space Board and Space Office replaced by the new Australian Space Council. Australian space industry experience is limited and largely restricted to special niches of expertise. Annual federal budget allocations for space have also been less than expected. Following the Starlab and later Fuse-Lyman studies, a program to test photon counting technology was undertaken with Project Endeavour, a small but complex binocular ultraviolet telescope developed entirely by Australian industry, principally AusSpace and the Australian National University. Endeavour was launched as a Space Shuttle Getaway Special Canister payload in early 1992 to take pictures of the heavens. Australia has also been active in hypersonics, rocketry and ground station development. The operation of hypersonic wind tunnels capable of generating very high-speed flows is one area of technology where Australia has led the world. The production of sounding rockets and missiles has been undertaken in Australia for some years by defence agencies, principally at Salisbury. Local companies built some OSSAT and other satellite ground stations, as well as some located overseas, particularly in Southeast Asia. In the area of education about space, Australia seems to have some fairly strong abilities, supplemented by programs and public communications. In fact, it might be said that the nation's expertise in the scientific and engineering disciplines is a result of good educational programs. However, the development of marketable products from industry, following earlier research, seems to be an area requiring much greater effort and funding. The international communication satellite activities of Australia's OTC has been previously mentioned, principally involving Intelsat and Inmarsat utilisation and support. On the other hand, Australia's own satellite system, OSSAT, was started in 1981, largely funded by the Australian government. The first generation OSSAT satellite system was designed to improve national business and remote area communications, providing a flexible and reliable service. The largest part of the $300 million spent on establishing the system went overseas, though, for the procurement of three satellites from the US Hughes Aerospace Corporation, with launches by NASA and Arianespace. In 1987-88, OSSAT earned $72 million in revenue, but still lost $34 million before tax. Subsequently, the sale of OSSAT to a private consortium, Optus Communications Proprietary Limited, for some $800 million, barely above OSSAT's cumulative debt, was announced in late 1991. Optus now forms with the Australian and Overseas Telecommunications Corporation a telecommunications network carrier duopoly, serving local and international markets. Another satellite application, remote sensing, plays a key role in the mapping and management of the vast Australian continent. By 1975, the CSIRO had obtained the first comprehensive digital archive of Landsat scenes of the nation, and in 1979, the Australian Landsat Station, now renamed the Australian Centre for Remote Sensing, was established to receive and process imagery on a continuous basis. A range of image processing computer programs and hardware has been developed in Australia, reflecting the fact that the nation is a world leader in the application of remote sensing technology, particularly in the meteorology, mining and agricultural disciplines. Research and teaching into remote sensing processing systems and sensors is conducted by the CSIRO, university departments and the private sector. Remote sensing software and hardware products have found ready markets overseas, indicating Australia's considerable expertise in this discipline. Similarly, remote sensing activities are allied with the interests of the Australian Bureau of Meteorology. Meteorologists directly received cloud images from space in Australia in 1963 from the TIROS 8 satellite. Since then, through the 70s, 80s and 90s, meteorological and related satellites have advanced significantly. Another growing sector of space applications is for search and rescue and navigation services. The COSPAS SARSAT and Navstar GPS systems are used in Australia. These applications have played an increasing role in Australian development and are set for expanded use into the next century. It is interesting that in Australia they have been largely confined to civilian innovation and utilisation. While Australia's involvement in these space technologies may not be very well recognised, it's nonetheless the case that the nation has had programmes of some extreme international significance. The Woomera range was, for a time, the best in the world, while the NASA tracking station system was the largest outside the United States. The US also established a series of important defence satellite system stations here. Australia was the fourth nation in the world to launch a satellite, and has had good successes in building and using ground systems for satellite communications, science, and remote sensing technologies. It must be recognised that Australia's largest programs have stemmed from military space activity, namely at Woomera, WRE, and the Defence Department bases. However, these efforts were and still remain largely in foreign control, with little local input. This is also the case with Australia's aerospace industry, which remains small by world standards and subject to the vagaries of global events and controls. Pushes towards stimulating Australia's civilian space industry, through various reports over the years, have met with government support in principle, but little funding in practice. Attempts to revive Woomera or develop a Cape York spaceport are taking quite some time to overcome the inertia of national apathy and scepticism. Public perception of space often equates Woomera with early nuclear tests at nearby Maralinga or the US base at Narunga. Cape York is viewed as a wilderness area, not a development site. Australia's newest space facility, the Defence Satellite Communication Station at Codger Arena, can hardly be expected to reverse public opinion of the militarist nature of space development. Given that politicians and government ultimately reflect public opinion, can we really expect further Australian public support for civilian space programs? In a way, the age of super-military technology is ending, to be replaced by a more challenging case of environmental superpower. Military intelligence and economic assessment agencies will have to transfer their interests to the complex study of environmental effects in the future years. And it is primarily space-based remote sensing systems that have revealed the worrying trends in this area, in a similar manner that to satellite communications, which has revolutionised our view of the world. Australia, with its expertise in these areas, can be active in saving the planet, with its experience in space applications utilisation and its legacy of space involvements. While the nation's space programs have traditionally enjoyed low levels of support, they have been very effective nonetheless. In the future, Australia could be involved in space with its own launch range and vehicles, small satellites and sensor systems on orbiting platforms and space stations, and cooperating with other space programs around the world. But to be effective, we will have to grasp new ways of thinking and be outward looking to overcome the public apathy and scepticism still directed towards space in Australia today.